And now, granted, for the races, I like the big races, but for the longer runs, just allowing me to be out in a greenway and running along nature is just, there's just something about that.
The Diz Runs With podcast, episode 168, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to the Diz Runs With podcast, where members of the running community come together to talk about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's about time to head out for a few easy miles and some great conversation. If you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get started. Hey guys, before we get started with today's episode, just want to ask a quick favor from you guys. If you're so inclined to entertain this favor, I would very much appreciate it. If not, certainly not the end of the world. But if we haven't had any type of chat, communication, whatever, tweets or emails or anything like that in the past, week or two, something like that from whenever you're listening to this, or if we never have, especially, would you just do me a favor and shoot me an email at the email address at dizruns, D-I-Z-R-U-N-S, at gmail.com. And just let me know what you're up to running-wise or anything else. And if you're a little bit worried, and I promise, I swear, up and down, I'm not going to add your email to any lists or anything like that. But I just want to be able to connect a little bit and learn a little bit more about you. But if you're a little bit weary about doing that, shoot me a tweet. You got 140 characters. You can't say too much. Send me two or three tweets if you need to. Say a little bit more. But send those tweets to @DizRuns. Just want to connect. That's something that we're going to talk a little bit about in this episode today, about the importance of having some relationships and some people that you can open up to. And I understand that it may be a little awkward if we haven't ever talked before to ask you to really open up in this type of a setting. But that doesn't mean we can't start some type of relationship that may never go beyond a tweet here and there. But it's just nice for me to be able to interact with some of you guys that are listening, especially those that I haven't had a chance to interact with before. Obviously, love connecting with many of you on a regular basis and always looking to extend that level of connection to more folks. So dizruns@gmail.com or @dizruns on the Twitter. We'd love to talk to you. But now let's get into today's episode. Hey guys, I'm really looking forward to today's episode because my guest today credits running literally with saving his life. He has suffered from obsessive compulsive panic and anxiety disorders for most of his life, and the treatment options that he was trying just really didn't seem to be having any effect. A friend of his suggested that he should try running, and after a little bit of convincing, he gave it a shot, and he definitely hasn't looked back since. Since he first drank that runner's Kool-Aid, he's now finished over 40 half marathons, a couple of full marathons, and Lord knows how many 5 and 10Ks, like probably most of us have. And it's my absolute pleasure today to be able to welcome Ryan Light to the show. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. And guys, if you want to find out more about Ryan and his story, you can definitely check out his blog, which you can find at realrunryan.com. And you can connect with him and interact and ask any questions that you might have on Twitter with the same handle as his URL. That's just @realrunryan. And as always, those links will be in the show notes if you're on the go and can't write those down or can't type them in right now. Just head over to dizruns.com/168. And all those links will be right there, readily available. So, Ryan, the way we always get things started on the show is to ask something of a simple question, at least for some folks. Some people, it's a little bit more complicated, but it gives us a good place to start from. And that is just to ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
So I typically like the half marathons due to the fact that I can save my legs over that course and still walk after the race. But I typically run and race a half marathon a month, and over the past couple of years, I've trimmed down the marathon to once a year, and I do most of my training. I usually run a fall marathon. This year I'm doing the New York Marathon, and last year I did the Marine Marathon. So I typically do a race a month, which would be a half marathon race, and then a full every year, and that's my favorite run to race is a half marathon.
Yeah, that's definitely a common answer on the show, and for a lot of the same reasons that you mentioned. Like, it's just, you know, it doesn't beat you up too much. It's a good distance. It's a good enough run. A half marathon a month, though, that's quite a schedule. Do you do a lot of traveling with your races, or are you somewhere where there's a lot of
Well, local? I moved to the Atlanta area about 2 years ago now. I'm originally from New York, and I moved to Seattle about 20 years ago. So I kind of claim myself as being a Seattleite with a New York accent. And so I moved from Seattle about a couple of years ago, and I moved down to Atlanta. And in the course of that, the distances in Seattle, you know, to travel would be, you know, an 8 to 6 hour drive to anywhere that would be kind of a distance run. Here, you know, I can be 3-4 hours in a different state. So I find myself traveling a bit more as I move down here for these half marathons. But typically, the running community down in the Atlanta area is pretty big. I didn't realize how big it was. And so typically a lot of my half marathons are pretty much local. Now, keep in mind, local to me would be 2 hours.
Right.
So that would be a local one for me. But yeah, I guess you can say it would be typically the Atlanta metro area.
Yeah, that's the one. You know, I kind of prefer the smaller races and the kind of the smaller town vibes when I travel to a race. But I live kind of halfway between Tampa and Orlando. So again, kind of that same thing. Anything within an hour or two that you can consider local. I mean, there's races all the time. Not that I run nearly as many as you do, but it's nice to have those options when you're looking for a race. And you don't have to get a hotel and get a flight or have an all day drive, you know, before the race and an all day drive after the race. You can just kind of, you know, do it all in one sitting if that's what floats your boat.
Yeah, exactly. And what I do is during my marathon training, you know, I'm pretty much, my long runs are 13 plus anyway. Mm-hmm. So depending on what I'm doing for that particular week, I might run I might get myself into a half marathon where I'm running at race pace, or maybe even a little bit quicker. And then what I'll do is I'll plus the half marathon. So I'll run the race, and let's say I have a 15-16 miler that week. Mm-hmm. I'll just tack on either before the race or after the race, I'll just tack on that mileage. And it really depends on what I'm doing and what I'm working on. If I'm doing a fartlek run, or if I'm doing an interval run, or if I'm just doing a straight long run, I'll tack those miles into the half marathon. So it kind of teaches my body to run at race pace at that distance, and then also to run those miles after that. So whether it be, again, a 16 or 20 mile, whatever it might be, I'll fit that into that schedule.
And from my experience, and I wonder if you're kind of in the same boat as I am, it's definitely a lot easier to do that long run with a race kind of component, or at least a lot more exciting for me than to just try to go out and do, you know, 15 or 16 miles on my own. I'd much rather do, you know, a 2 mile warm up, run a half marathon, and then a mile or two cool down to get my 16, 17 miles in, as opposed to just doing it by yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it kind of does put a swing on things and allows your, it really, for me, it tricks my mind, right? Mm-hmm. I forget about the 2 or 3 miles before the race, and then I, you know, gradually forget about the 2 or 3 miles after the race as well. So for me, it's more of a mind game, and allows me to practice that race pace at that particular distance for that length of time. So that's why I do a half marathon a month.
Gotcha. So as we're recording this kind of early part of October, you got just about a month left until to New York. What are you looking forward to most about running the New York Marathon?
You know, growing up in the city, I'm looking forward to kind of running through my old neighborhood where I grew up. So it's more of an emotional race for me rather than being I'm going to enjoy the race. I'm not going to go out and trying to PR and, you know, get it under my marathon record. It's going to be a fun run for me. It's more of an emotional run for me than anything, just due to the fact that it's in my hometown. It's where I grew up, and it literally goes down the street where I hung out as a kid. And so it's going to be an emotional time for me more than anything.
Do you still have family in New York City?
Most of my family is gone from there. I have So I have, you know, obviously friends and people I grew up with that I'll see while I'm there. But most of my family has moved from there over the course of the last, you know, 20 or something years.
Gotcha. It still feel like a homecoming though, for sure.
Yeah, most definitely. I'll see some old friends there. I'll literally run down the street that I grew up on. So it's like I said, it's going to be more emotional than anything.
Definitely. That'll be a fun one. I kind of have mixed emotions about the idea of running New York. Like I wouldn't mind if you know, it would be fun. I certainly wouldn't be opposed to it. But there's just something about a race that big that's just not the most appealing thing to me. Although I had somebody on the show, I think Matt Fitzgerald a couple of weeks ago. I think that was the conversation. Maybe somebody else. But anyway, we were talking about big races versus small races, and he's, you know, whoever it was just like, yeah, it's just, there's just something about the constant cheering section at a race that big, where it's just, I mean, it's literally 26 miles of spectators and they're all cheering, and that might swing me a little bit to be a little bit more wanting to run some of those big races.
Yeah, you know, and being a city boy at heart, I typically like the bigger races. I like the vibe of the bigger races rather than the small hometown races. So I typically like that type of vibe more than a small town race. So I think that the energy within the air, and, you know, hopefully it won't feel as though it's 26 miles. though, you know, after any marathon, you kind of feel that pain anyway. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's definitely it's been a making and. For a couple of years now. I got in 2012 with Katrina. Was it Katrina? No, Sandy. I'm sorry.
Right,
not
right,
Katrina.
Sandy.
Right. Yeah, that Sandy kind of ruined that whole year. So I got in that year, but decided not to fly out from Seattle to run it, because I kind of knew the locals and people I knew in New York said, you know, Ryan, it's not going to happen.
Right.
And so I didn't made a decision not to run it that year, because obviously it didn't happen. And then I had a chance to either do 2013, 14, or 15, and decided to do 2015 because my daughter would be old enough for me to take her with me. She'll turn 12, and we're going to take her as a kind of a, me and my wife and her are going to take her up there and run it that way, so they get to see the city a little bit and I get to run the race.
Well, that'll be I mean, obviously at least for me, again, but it sounds like we're kind of in the same boat here. Any race is a good time, but that's going to be a good, just all around a good trip for the homecoming aspect and the family aspect and the running aspect. It sounds like it's gonna be a good weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be an excellent time. Looking forward to it, as long as it doesn't, you know, because I think that New York's getting hit with another hurricane this weekend.
That's the rumor.
You know, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that, you know, coming from Seattle, I'm used to running in the rain, so I don't think that will be an issue. But hopefully it'll be a nice clear day and, you know, it will be enjoyable.
Definitely. So let's dive into your backstory a little bit, because we've been connected on Twitter for a little while now. And you know, you actually had approached me and said, hey, you know, I've kind of dealt with some of these issues, the OCD and some panic and anxiety type of stuff. And, you know, running really helped me. And I'd love to hear some people that have been in that boat. And I had actually reached out to a couple of folks that I have known also on Twitter that have, you know, same type of issues. And they just weren't comfortable coming on the show and talking about it. And we went back and forth a little bit, and you were like, dude, I'd love to come on and just kind of help, you know, share my story and hopefully, you know, help somebody else that was in a similar boat that you were. So, first and foremost, thank you for your willingness to do that. And if you're ready and willing, let's dive into that backstory of kind of where you were and, you know, when you first started to you know, get exposed to the running community and how, you know, kind of, you know, how we went from there to here.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, I suffered from OCD like I said, probably most of my life. I think my first incident with OCD was when I was probably a teenager, 15, 16 years old, is where I first had my first episode of OCD. And I don't have the typical, my OCD is a bit more hard to detect and it's a bit more hard to control because I don't have the checking of the locks and the more the compulsion part, right? My OCD is more around the thought processes, right? The intrusive thoughts, those types of things is what I've been plagued with, so to say. And, you know, as a teenager, I went from, you know, having OCD was thought processes and those types of things. What, like a typical OCD incident would be, I would be thinking about flying, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say I have a fear of flying. My OCD would be, I would have that fear of flying continuous for, I would think that I'm about ready to get on a flight. Mm. So my anxiety would be at a level in which I would be scared to fly, even though I have no intentions on flying.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So flying is not even, I'm not even going for, I'm going nowhere.
Right.
Yeah. Right. But my brain would say, you're going to go on a flight. So my anxiety level would be up, mm-hmm. right? Thinking I'm going to go on this flight. And I would constantly think about going on a flight, right? And being on a plane, even though I have no intentions of going on a plane.
So just being in a perpetual state of just high stress.
Exactly. Right. Of high stress, thinking about going on a plane, maybe even seeing a plane would trigger it,
mm-hmm.
right? Or going to the airport would trigger it. And so I would be at this level of anxiety for days, months,
wow.
You know, sometimes people have that anxiety for years, right? And now it comes and goes, right? Mm-hmm. I kind of go through this even flow of my OCD triggers. And, you know, I had one last night. I literally had a panic attack last night. So in my panic attack last night was around not feeling my heart.
Mm.
Right. So I didn't feel I wasn't feeling my heart pumping, right? Which normal people don't,
mm-hmm.
right? It's just, it's something that's subconsciously, it just pumps, right? So I didn't feel my heart pumping last night. And so my heart rate elevated and I got mm-hmm. myself into a state of panic because I didn't feel my heart rate, right? So it's those types of things in which affects me. Right. It's more body focused type stuff. Mm-hmm. And I do have a fear of flying and those types of things. So, you know, it's those types of things in which I have my OCD kind of triggers and then my anxiety rises and then it gets to a level of panic.
Right.
Right. And so what you do in those situations where, you know, you don't feel your heart rate, you know, you don't feel your heart pounding, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Once you feel your heart pounding, then you worry about your heart pounding, right? So it's this perpetual cycle of OCD, anxiety, panic that kind of plagues.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that first episode when I was 16 and kind of went away in my 20s. And then in my late 20s, kind of went away in my early 20s. In my late 20s, when I had my first child, it came back. And this OCD was more around the intrusive thoughts, right? Like I was going to harm my child, mm. right? I have, you know, like the OCD was, all right, you're going to harm your child. So what does one do? One worries about not, let's not touch the child,
mm.
right? Because you can harm that child. So, and that's an OCD. That's a common OCD thought process, right? I'm going to run somebody over. I'm going to hurt my child. I'm going to whatever.
Right.
And so what happens is that little anxiety kind of happens. So that was in my late 20s. And then my early 30s, a friend of mine who suffered from more of a he had more of a phobia, right? So he was more of a phobia person, and he started running. And actually had two buddies of mine that started running. And what I did is I rode my bike on an 18-miler that he did. And, you know, we got to chatting and talking and, you know, and I was pretty much an open book with him. And, mm-hmm. And a lot of what I found with a lot of people, Denny, is a lot that have this type of, it's taboo, right? So mm-hmm. if they have anxiety, they have panic disorders, they have OCD, they have any type of mental disorder that they have, it becomes taboo.
Well,
right,
not only is it taboo, but it's one of those things that, you know, just looking at you, there's no way of knowing, you know, so not only.
Yeah, exactly. You can't tell. Yeah,
exactly.
And I got really good at hiding it, right? I got really good at not exposing the mental turmoil I was going through. Right. I got really good at hiding, although obviously my wife would know something's up. And, you know, because when I'm in a funk, I'm in a funk. I, mm-hmm. you know, I shut down. I don't become the extrovert that I am. I become more of an introvert. I don't, you know, I kind of literally shut down. So my wife can tell, but you know, you from the outside, you wouldn't know that I'm going through this mental turmoil, right? I mean, you just wouldn't know. So I got really good at hiding it. And so that was the first kind of discussion on that 18-mile. I'll never forget it. He was training for a marathon. This was, maybe 6 or 7 years ago now, okay. Where I was riding with him and he was running and I'm like, he's like, you know, Ryan, you should really check out this running thing. You know, you should really check out this. And I'm like, nah, dude, man, you're crazy. I can barely ride my bike for 18 miles and you want me to run 18 miles. Mm-hmm. Just forget it. And he was going through some anxiety issues as well. And he was like, you know, it really helped me out. You should really look into this. You know, if I can do it, you can do it kind of thing. And so what I did is at that time I was kind of at wit's end. I was taking, mm-hmm. You know, medication. I was seeing a counselor. It was just a really a stressful time in my life, to the point that, you know, I literally got suicidal. Wow. I just couldn't take it no more. Right. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, if you have this mental turmoil that's happening to you, that's turned into these panic attacks. And if mm-hmm. you never experienced a panic attack, it's a real thing. It's really, for me, it's fight or flight. Mm-hmm. It's one of those two. Either I'm going to fight this thing or I'm going to go run.
Right.
Right. So it's one of those things.
Well, and just to jump in for a second, I mean, you know, for somebody that, you know, like I can't say that I've ever really had any of these, you know, any real serious panic attacks. Of course, you know, there's times when something goes bad and you're down in the dumps and things like that. Yep. But you know, I mean that for me, you know, that'll pass in typically a matter of hours at most, you know, for the rest of the day. And then tomorrow I wake up and you know, back to quote unquote normal, or at least, you know, looking to see the positives and things like that. And so I can imagine if you're dealing with something like that for weeks on end and into months, I mean, I can imagine you could very easily, it wouldn't take long to get at wit's end and really be struggling, trying to find some way to calm the anxiety.
Yeah, exactly. And you get to a point where in that particular time, I got to a point where I was just, I was at wit's end. I was ready to give up. I'm like, I can't do this no more. I can't function. I can't work. My marriage is going down the tubes because mm-hmm. I just can't hack it.
Right.
And I remember exclusively, not too many people notice, so now the world is going to probably notice, but I remember exclusively thinking to myself that I have enough money in my will, right, in my life insurance that it would take care of my family, right? So what I literally did is I went to go check to see if suicide would cover that, right? I remember this exclusively. I remember going to look it up to see if suicide would take care, if suicide was a clause in the life insurance or not. Thank God I didn't go down that path.
Right.
What I did is I said to myself, I said, you know what, Ryan, you're really gonna, you know, this is with you to stay, right? It's who you are. Mm-hmm. It's part of what you know. Let's see if we can combat this, right? Let's mm-hmm. see if we can at least bring something to your life that you can enjoy, that will overcome this, because it's part of me, right? I'm going to have OCD. I'm going to have anxiety. It's just who I am. It's just how my makeup is. And so what I did is I said, you know what? Let me try this running thing. Interesting enough.
Right.
And I hated, you know, it was this typical, you know, late 30s, early 40s guy that said, you know, let me start exercising. Mm-hmm. You know, I hated running. I was in the Army and I hated running then, and I didn't know how people could run, you know, a mile, let alone 26 miles.
Or the idea of just running for fun.
There's no fun in running whatsoever, right? You know, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know, let me set some goals. Let me see if I can do this thing, and let me kind of go through the process of starting to run. And what I did is in my beginning journey in running is I kind of did the walk run thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so you know, I started out with walking 5 minutes, running a minute, and running, you know, in today's terms was really a fast walk
right.
back in those days. And so I got myself up to, 15 minutes, and then I was able to run 20 minutes, and I was ready, I was able to run a mile and mm-hmm. 2 miles, and I started packing on, mileage and time. And over time I was getting myself up to, 5-6 miles. And in that time, what happened was my focus changed. Right. So did OCD totally go away? Was it totally eliminated? No, it wasn't eliminated. It didn't go away. It wasn't totally eliminated. What it did is it changed my mindset to focus on something that's positive in my life rather than the negative. Right. So what I would do now, granted, OCD can have a tendency of doing that with running as well. So I can now OCD about my time or my mileage or my shoes or my gadgets or my heart rate or whatever it might be. But my focus changed. And when my focus changed, my confidence grew. My anxiety went down. I found myself more focused on my running and what I can do with my running, because it becomes a level of accomplishment, right? It became a level of self-esteem, a level of mind and body and how those two connect and so on and so forth. So I found myself really focusing on my running, and by virtue, my OCD on the things that I was OCDing about, let's say airplanes or whatever it might be, went down. So it really changed who I was. Again, it didn't go away, right? And it'll never go away, but it definitely helped decrease those things in which, I was focused on. And then you get the endorphins, right? You get the endorphins kicking in, and, to the point that do I still take medication today? Yes, I do, but it's a lot less than it was. Right. And so, is my OCD as bad as it was? No, it's not. It's still there, but it's not. So it's not a cure all.
Right.
I didn't find running as being a cure all. And as a matter of fact, when I marathon train, I'm training with a friend of mine now. And I said, I told him, I said, listen, in the beginning of my training cycle, I said, you come watch me August or October, because you need to watch me, because what's going to happen is my nervous system is taking such a beating that my OCD and anxiety might get worse. Right. Because my nervous system is taking such a beating with running.
Right.
That, you need to watch me, because, I might start, shut down come August, October. And August, October, as I'm getting into my 20 milers, right? Because I run this training cycle, we're doing 5 20 milers.
Oh, wow.
And so typically you do one or two. This time we're doing 20. We're doing five. Right. Yeah, we're doing 5 20 milers. And so my nervous system's a bit out of whack because I'm running so much. Right. Mm-hmm. So I need to watch that as well. But it definitely, from where I was suicidal back 7 years ago until who I am today is like night and day. And a lot of that has to do with the credit of starting to run.
So you mentioned that with the running, it's really helped you to kind of change your focus. And it sounds like that's kind of been the biggest, influence or the biggest positive impact as far as the OCD and the anxiety. How long did it take to from starting to run until you really started to notice a difference in it and a shift in that focus?
You know, I had an immediate change, because, as you start to run, and anybody who ever starts to run, you focus on, I can't do 5 miles or I can't do 10 miles. Well, then you focus on a half a mile, right? Or you focus on a mile. And I got really into time. I got rid of my mileage thinking. I got more into the time thinking. Like, let me run 10 minutes.
Gotcha.
Let me run 20 minutes. So let me, I can run 5 minutes. Rather than saying, I can run a mile or whatever it might be, I got more focused on the time. How it changed my focus was my self-confidence and my self-esteem got more better as I could add more time to my running, right? And so as I built my confidence up and I went from, literally 5 miles, 5 minutes of running to 30 minutes of running, that was quite an accomplishment. Mm-hmm. Right. And in that accomplishment, I found myself to be a bit more, that I can do this, right? I can do this. I can now, I add 35 minutes. I can add 40 minutes. I can add that time, you know, and it changed my focus from I can't do something or I'm struggling with this OCD thought to now I can go, you know, I can now bump it up 5 minutes or bump it up 10 minutes. And what happened for me is as I was focusing less on my anxiety and OCD, mm-hmm. on the detriments of my mental disorder rather than the positives of, you know, Ryan, you can run, you know, an hour, mm-hmm. you can run 2 hours or whatever it might be. So I really changed my focus, and to the point that, you know, if I'm like in the middle of, let's say like last night, right, where mm-hmm. if it got into a full blown panic attack, I would have literally got my running shoes on and went out for a run, right? So it changes my mindset, because, you know, you can't really have a panic attack and anxiety attack when you're running, you know, a couple of miles,
right?
It's almost impossible, right? Because your body movements and stuff like that. So by the time I'm done running, the anxiety level would go down.
So, and that was kind of exactly what I was going to ask next, you know, if that really helps, and maybe kind of a follow-up to that then, since you kind of answered that question. You know, you mentioned earlier that you'd have, you know, weeks and months of being in a funk, in the high stress and high anxiety. It sounds like now, I mean, if you find yourself really getting to that place, you can just go for a run and you know, pretty much, you know, like you said, by the time you get back, you're in a much better place. So have you kind of really limited that amount of that perpetual state of high stress then through running, basically?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I haven't, it's my out. You know what I mean? Like I have an out, and rather than, you know, laying in my bed and focusing on the OCD or the anxiety or the panic that's crippling me, I now have an out where I have an outlet that allows me to go, you know, quote unquote, run it off. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And get my exercise in, get my mental focus back where it needs to be. Cause like I said, by the time, you know, I run 2 or 3 miles, it's the anxiety is kind of over, mm-hmm. right? The anxiety now is the OCD. Is it still there? Yeah, it's still right. There. But, you know, within OCD, you know, obviously I'm not a psychologist or anything, but, you know, if I just let it be there, it and not bother me, right. it will eventually go away, right? It will go away. And then something else might trigger it. Whether it be, you know, work related or, you know, whatever it might mm-hmm. be, something else might trigger. But if I just kind of let it do its thing and let it not control me and throw me into a state of panic. And right. if it does, I have an outlet for mm-hmm. me, right? That outlet, you know, some people that might be a walk or it might be fresh air or it might be some breathing exercises, whatever it might be. But I have an out mm-hmm. and, you know, I tried all those things before and nothing really worked but running.
Right. So, and you mentioned also that, and I've heard other people kind of talk about this a little bit too, more in the addiction side of things, but where running can become something that you can be very, you know, obsessive over or addicted to, or, you know, kind of whatever thing you're struggling with and you know, you kind of replace it with running and that can kind of take over. Have you had any issues with running becoming something that can
yeah, be triggered? Maybe I should put my wife on. you know, I'm, yeah, it has. Mm-hmm. You know, you get to a point where I was doing some heart rate training and, you know, I would, if I didn't hit the, you know, the
magic number,
the magic number, you know, it ruined my whole run. Mm-hmm. Right. Or if I, you know, didn't hit the magic PR, it would ruin my whole run. Or if it didn't, you know, so yeah, I got, you know, if I didn't have the right shoe, so I, you know, mm-hmm. I'd go from this shoe to that shoe to this shoe to that shoe. And it was, you know, so that in itself, running in itself became my OCD, right? So, and I caught myself early in that mm-hmm. and, you know, rather than running being a labor for me, in not fun anymore, I caught myself. And what I did in those situations is I took a break.
Right.
Right. I didn't run at all. Mm. Right. I said, you know what? Okay. You know, running is now becoming my OCD. And if I don't, hit the magic number or don't PR on a half marathon or whatever it might be, then I'm down the dump. So what happens if I get injured and I can't run? Right. And that's exactly what happened to me. Right. I was training for the Portland Marathon and I hurt myself. I hurt my hip. And again, the depression that kicks in, and us as runners know that, you know, running can become an addiction. And, you know, if you miss some race like that, it can become a depression. And, you know, and I remember I hurt my hip, and it was right before the Portland Marathon, probably about 6 weeks out before the Portland Marathon. And I was just down in the dumps. I mean, the depression just kicks in because now my anxiety OCD is heavy again, and now I have no out because I injured myself. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was really an indicator that, all right, Ryan, this is becoming an addiction for you, and it's becoming your OCD, mm-hmm. right? Your running's becoming your OCD. You're no longer enjoying it. Now it's become a labor for you. And so I just took a break, right? I took a 3-month break from running, and just to see if I did miss it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I literally took like a 2 or 3 month break just to see if I missed it and to see the effects of it. Right. And I'd rather run than not run. I can tell you that.
Right.
Cause it does a lot more for the mind and body than I thought. Mm-hmm. Even though I saw, you know, even I was seeing, you know, some solutions to my OCD and anxiety, I really had to take that break to really understand what it was truly doing for me. Mm-hmm. And so now it's more of an enjoyment for me than anything, because it gives me an out and allows me to enjoy, you know, fresh air and enjoy the, you know, just the art of running.
Mm-hmm. So do you still keep track of your heart rate and PRs and all that kind of stuff? Or you kind of let that go?
I do, but not to the level of that I'm totally panicked that if I don't hit a PR, if I don't hit, you know, a certain heart rate when I'm running, you know, if I'm running some speed work and I'm not getting up to 168, it doesn't really bother me, right? If I stay at 160, because just for that 400 meters, it's fine. Before it became more of, I had to hit this number. And like I said, for the New York Marathon, you know, I'm not looking for a PR for it. I'm not, you know, it's going to be an enjoying run for me. And if I do it in 5 hours, then whatever. If I do it in 3 hours, great. You know, whatever it might be, I'm not going to stress over it. It's just going to be, and I think that for me, if I go in with that mindset, right? So again, it's a change of focus, right? Mm-hmm. It's a change of mindset that allows me to say, you know, whatever it might be is, you know, maybe my body is not, you know, maybe I'm tired and I can't hit that particular heart rate, or, you know, this race I'm just going to do as a fun run and it's not going to be a PR. So it's a bit more relaxed. And I think as runners, we need to, you know, look at races or look at those types of things differently sometimes, because it can become stressful because we're so competitive, right? And it's not me against you, it's me against me.
Right.
Right. Truly, unless we're elites or in that category, you know, when I want to enter a race, I'm running against me. I'm not running against you.
Right.
You can motivate me, right? You know, you can motivate me by being in front of me, but at the end of the day, for me, it's I'm competing with me, because me is who, you know, is who the problem is as far as OCD and panic and those types of things.
Well, and shoot, just talking from the runner perspective, I think that's, I mean, you know, like I'm, you know, I'm trying to get a faster time or run a smarter race or whatever it is that I'm trying to do for myself. And yeah, you know, sure, again, like I might try to, you know, I might pick out this person that's in front of me and try to beat them, or somebody that I just passed recently, and not let them catch me back up, you know, if I feel like I might be fading. But ultimately, I mean, you know, I think, you know, 99% of us that are runners are competing against ourselves. If there's any type of competitiveness going on, it's us against ourselves and trying to always get the best out of ourselves, no matter
what. Exactly.
So, you know, another thing that you mentioned that I'm curious about, you know, you talked about times that you might need to take a little break, or if there's an injury that happens or something like that prevents you from running for a while. Are there any other physical activities? Have you found any, maybe not quite to the same level as running, but you know, cycling or something else that might help to with your anxiety, or is it really for you running or nothing basically?
No. I'll I think that after this marathon, I'm probably going to get myself into swimming a little bit. Mm. So I think swimming will be an outlet. You know, I have a bike, but it's a love hate relationship because I'd rather be running than biking. But I do get out there for a cross train, and then I also weightlift. So I think for me, keeping my body active and keeping my brain active is an outlet, right? I mean, to the point where, you know, I'll play chess if I have to, right? So it doesn't always have to be physical. It's just a something mental that allows my brain to get a break from kind of itself.
Right.
So I have different outlets. It's not always running, because you know, running could be a bit monotonous too, right? As especially when you're marathon training, you're doing 40, 50 miles a week, and you're running, you know, 15 to 20 miles on your long runs every week for 3 months. It can get pretty, you know, it can get pretty strenuous and monotonous in that as well. So, but yeah, I definitely have different outlets that allow me to get that break. And I had some great counselors over the years where, you know, kind of helped me to when I'm in the middle of that situation, to think about, like, for instance, like last night, if I'm in the middle of a panic attack, what I will do is I will level set myself to a point where I'll picture myself running, right? So I'll picture myself going down. We have a local greenway that's just a beautiful greenway that goes along this river. And it's kind of really, it gives me a sense of rest when I'm on that greenway, right? So I think that I'll think about those situations when I'm in the middle of an anxiety attack or a panic attack that allows me to ground myself, right? It allows me to ground myself that, you know, I'm okay. You know, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to, you know, my heart's going to still beat, all those types of things, but allows me to change my thought processes to something I enjoy, which is running. So I'll literally think about running that greenway or maybe a fair race that I had or whatever situation might be, that allows me to kind of, ground myself again to overcome those panic and anxiety attacks.
Well, and the way you say that, I think, is perfect, because again, and I'm no, you know, you said you're no, you know, psychiatrist, psychologist, and I'm certainly not either, but, there's definitely something about just kind of being in nature and our connection to nature. And as much as you consider yourself a city boy, you know, having those opportunities on the greenway, or maybe it's still in town, but it's just a little bit more of that connection to nature really can kind of help you to ground and just, I mean, I think that's a perfect way of putting it. Just kind of getting grounded and getting centered and being able to refocus.
Yeah, exactly. And now, granted, for the races, I like the big races, but for the longer runs, just allowing me to be out in a you know, a greenway and running along nature is just, you know, there's just something about that allows us to reconnect, so to say.
Definitely. So, I've been trying to figure out how I wanted to ask this, because I think this is an important question that I have, and maybe some folks that are listening might have it as well. And so hopefully I can word this in a way that makes sense and gives you a good opportunity to kind of hopefully provide some real value here. For those of us that are listening, you know, are maybe know somebody that might be struggling or you know, for sure, you know, friends, family, things like that might be having some OCD issues or anxiety issues, you know, that we know about, and they're just, you know, in a bad place, and maybe they're not a runner, not somebody that's physically active, things like that. From your perspective, are there things that we could do, or maybe even better, maybe you can talk directly to them. So maybe somebody that's listening and knows somebody can say, hey, here's this podcast, you know, this guy that's been really struggling for most of his life, been in some really dark places, you know, what kind of maybe words of advice or things like that can you say to somebody that's a non-runner or not real active, hasn't found a good outlet or a good place to focus yet, that you know, to just maybe to give running a shot?
Yeah, you know, I think the first thing that I would say is, you know, the worst thing that we can do as people that suffer with, you know, OCD or anxiety or panic or whatever it might be, is to not get yourself in a situation where you're alone, right? Mm-hmm. So reach out to a family member, reach out to a friend, reach out to someone that you can share with and open up with, that will allow you to kind of have an outlet as far as the talking goes, right? I have some really good friends that I pretty much, said to myself that, you know, Ryan, this is who you are. This is how your makeup is. Your OCD is not going away. Anxiety is part of that OCD. Panic is part of that OCD. So get yourself around people that care about you and love you that you can open up to, right? So I've kind of filleted myself open to the point where, you know, hey, Denny, man, I'm struggling. Can you help me out? Right? I just need someone to talk to. I just need, you know, so I think that people like us that struggle with these anxieties and situations where don't get yourself in a situation where you're on an island, right? You got to open up. For me, I had to get myself opening up to people that I can at least talk to, right? Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, the guy that on the 18 miler, I love him to death. He's one of my best friends. And he allowed me to open up to him, mm-hmm. right? So that really, that I think that 18 miler that he was on in that ride, that bike ride, really kind of changed our relationship to one another. That he kind of, wow, Ryan, I really didn't know that about you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where he kind of has helped me over the past 5-6 years, even in situations where I was just down in the dumps. Now, granted, I have some key folks in my life that I can reach out to and talk about, right? But I think that when you have these types of elements or these types of situations in your life, what a lot of us do is we feel alone, right? Mm-hmm. And you can feel alone, in an auditorium packed with 60,000 people.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's just, you can feel alone. But what I had to understand for myself is that's me. Right. That's mm-hmm. that's something in me that I'm dealing with and I'm not alone. Right. So that's the other key thing is I'm not alone. There's plenty of people out there that deal with the same type of struggles mm-hmm. and the same types of situations. And you're not alone. Right. So just knowing that for me, that I'm not alone, that there's plenty of people that do deal with these situations and I call it the thorn on my side, these thorns in mm-hmm. our sides, that I'm not alone. So on the flip side of that, as a friend of someone that's dealing with these situations, I think that friends need to be keen on situations that might be going on in people's lives because you may not know, mm-hmm. right? And so for friends of ours, they, you know, you need to be a friend, right? I mean, that's the key. Right. And so I myself need to get better at that. Like I'll get a random phone call from a friend and, you know, either I'm too busy with work or I'm too busy to answer the phone. So we just don't know those situations in which we have those phone calls that someone might need us. Mm-hmm. So I think on the flip side of that, friends need to be more conscious about what's going on. And I think get deeper into the relationship where it becomes, you know, what's the weather like? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You really need to open up and get to know people because you don't know who's struggling, right? You don't know, again, you don't know, you know, I don't know what you're going through. You don't know what I'm going through. And only way we would do that is building these relationships. And to be frank with you, and there's no better way to build mm-hmm. a relationship than through running.
Oh, certainly.
There's no better way. I mean, I've grown since I've moved to Atlanta. I've grown best friends with my running partner. I mean, I just love him to death, and he allows me. We run together. That's how mm-hmm. we started our relationship. He started running because I was running, and we built this relationship with each other. And now I have my best conversations. I fillet myself open the most. I'm most vulnerable in those running situations where we're just chatting for, you know, 2 or 3 hours mm-hmm. of just about life and about, you know, the struggles that we're dealing with. So I think there's no better avenue that I've found other than maybe sitting down and having coffee and those types mm-hmm. of things. But there's no better avenue for me than going on a run and having a long chat about, you know, life and struggles and situations.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, as you were saying that, and especially as you were talking about, you know, just really filleting yourself open and being, you know, just, you know, not trying to do things alone. I kind of felt conflicted in that, you know, whether it's OCD, anxiety, panic disorder, whatever, or just, you know, we all have those things, you know, whether right. it's struggles with a relationship or struggles with, you know, employment or business or feelings of inadequacy. I mean, you know, there's no shortage of things in all of us, have something, and just having, you know, again, not trying to do it all alone. I think that what you said, while it was directed towards kind of a you know, certain subset of, you know, people that are struggling with certain things, I think it definitely, if everybody listened to what you're saying, it applies. And just having those relationships and having those, you know, handful of key friendships that maybe have developed through running, maybe it's something that goes back even longer. But just having those opportunities to be open and honest and real are vital to all of us.
Yeah, and I think that we really have lost that, right? We mm-hmm. we've lost that. You know, I have this saying of flaying myself open, right? I think that we lost that because we, especially if we're, you know, a lot of us put a front on, right? A lot of put a front that we. So, you know, life is better than it actually is, right? And, you know, whether we live in a big house or drive a fancy car or whatever it might be, we always put this front on, and we put the game face on, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's situations where you can't really put the game face on, and who you are really needs to come out, right? And I've made a conscious decision to say, you know, who I am is who I am, and this is how I'm made up of, and I need help, mm-hmm. right? I'm the first one to say I need help, whether I'm dealing with, you know, a marriage issue, a relationship issue, work issue, mm-hmm. anxiety, myself, whatever it might be. I'm done with, you know, saying I don't need help. I need help.
And it's amazing how quickly other people let their guard down once you've shown yourself to be vulnerable too.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And I think that once we do learn now, you know, friendships, they need to be cultivated, right? Mm-hmm. And so, again, I'm an open book. So, you know, me, you can go for a run and you'll know all about me in 15 minutes. Right. And some people takes time, right? Some mm-hmm. people you need to get that sledgehammer out and start, you know, hitting that wall down, because we all have a wall, right? We all deal with these different situations in our life where, like you said, either inadequacy, maybe I'm not where I think I should be at in my career, or, you know, whatever it might be. We all have these inadequacies and we put the game face on, but that's not really who we are. Mm-hmm. And I think discovering and being open to who you really are allows the relationships to cultivate. And then in stressful situations, because we can't do life on our own.
Certainly.
All right, I've learned that. We can't do life on our own. We need to have relationships in our life to help us through these through trials and tribulations, whether it be stuff that I deal with, from anxiety to OCD to panic to maybe marriage issues or relationship issues or whatever it might be. We just can't do this on our own.
Yeah, no, that's 100% accurate. So, Ryan, as we're getting kind of close to wrapping things up today, I think that we put a real nice bow on kind of looking at the past and kind of getting to the present. And I thank you for your openness and your candor and your willingness to share and be that open book. And hopefully that's helped, you know, as many people as listen to this, but certainly at least one person. If it's helped one person, it's certainly all been worth it. But, you know, for the last couple of minutes, let's look forward to the future. What kind of, you know, you got New York coming up, but are there other races, other big goals, or, you know, kind of bucket list items that, you know, maybe you're not even signed up for yet, but, you know, someday you'd like to do this or like to do that? Any of those types of things that we can kind of wrap up on today?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm crazy enough to probably try a 50K here in the next couple of years. You know, I was gonna wait till I'm 50, but that's a good 7 years away. So I don't know if I'll wait that long to do that. Again, you know, as far as races go, I'm not sure what big marathon I'm gonna do next year. Mm-hmm. But my goal right now is to get as kind of this core set of folks in the local area kind of running, so we can share this experience with each other. So I'm kind of looking to really start like a running community. There is some local running chapters local here, but I think that I'm willing to start one local that allow, you know, other folks to get involved from scratch, like I am, mm-hmm. like I did, you know, in their late 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever it might be. So I'm starting to think about that and how I can incorporate that local. So as far as big races, like, again, I don't know what I'm doing next year. I think I'll plan on doing a 50K probably here in the next couple of years. But that'll probably be the extent of my total mileage, so to say.
Yeah, that ultra distance thing is just something that I'm more and more intrigued with all the time, but definitely hesitant to pull the trigger on.
So. Yeah, most definitely. I'm not willing. I don't know if my body's willing to go through that pain.
I think the big thing is you just got to shift your mind a little bit. Like, you're not running.
Right.
It's not a road race. It's not a marathon pace. Like, you slow down and just enjoy it. Wrapping your head around that's tough.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. And then, you know, out here in Atlanta, they have these, you know, it's these rolling hills. Mm. So in, you know, Seattle, we had the up and down mountains. So I was kind of used to that. But here is these rolling hills. And to be frank with you, they're just annoying. So I don't know if I would do a trail run 50K out here. It's just, they annoy me, these rolling hills.
I don't know. I mean, from you know, the guy in Central Florida where you know, an on-ramp is considered a rolling hill,
right.
You know, maybe it's just a grass is greener type of situation, but I'd much rather, even though it'd be more difficult, maybe it'd be easier for me to slow down, you know, to have to go constantly up and down.
Yeah,
So that's cool. And maybe the race is on between, you know, the two of us. Who's going to run that 50K first?
Right. Who knows? Maybe we can run it together.
There we go. Now we're talking. Now we're talking.
Exactly.
So again, Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us today. It's something that, honestly, I think it's a conversation that probably, people need to hear. And again, whether you're dealing with OCD and panic and anxiety, or whether there's other, you know, other things that you're dealing with that maybe you're suffering in silence in, and you know, Lord knows I've probably got a few of those things as well. So it's the kind of conversation that needs to take place, and I'm glad we were able to have it and share it with hopefully some folks that needed to hear it as well.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on the show.
Absolutely. So guys, again, all the notes will be all the highlights will be on the show notes page, which is at dizruns.com/168. And again, realrunryan.com and at realrunryan on the Twitter if you want to connect and you know, talk more, or maybe you just you know, want to open up with somebody. And I got a feeling that Ryan would be glad to offer an ear to listen to once in a while.
Most definitely.
So again, Ryan, thank you so much. All the best going forward in the future, and definitely looking forward to staying in touch and you know, hopefully crossing paths at some point in the not too distant future.
Definitely. Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's show. Hope that you enjoyed the conversation between Ryan and myself. Not as light of a topic as some of the other episodes we've had and some of the other conversations I've had with other runners, but I hope that you still found it worthwhile. I know I did. I feel like it was something that we needed to do. And, you know, it's something that I'd actually been looking for someone that was willing to maybe kind of come on and talk about some of these types of struggles that they're dealing with and how running has helped them with that. Because it's an important topic, and it's something that, you know, like I said to Ryan, we all deal with things from time to time, whether it's OCD and anxiety, whether it's, you know, relationship, whether it's workplace, whether it's familial, whether it's just self-doubt, self issues, self-esteem type of issues. We all have struggles, and you know, whether it's running, whether it's meditating, whether it's yoga, whether it's you know, other types of exercise, I mean, whatever it is, we all need to have other things that we can do to kind of help shift that focus sometimes and take our mind off of the struggle and whatever issue we're facing, and hopefully help to bring us back to a better place. And I'm just very thankful for Ryan to share his story and his openness and his willingness to come on and you know, dive deep and talk about some of the nitty gritty. And I hope that's helped somebody. And like we said in the episode, you know, if you know somebody that might be struggling, please share this with them. You know, they tell them to fast forward to the end when Ryan's talking, you know, about some of that more pointed stuff to people that might be struggling. But anyway, just again, thank you for listening, and I hope that you enjoyed and got something out of it, because I know I did. And that leads me to my takeaway. You know, what we had mentioned about having friends that you can relate to and open up to, and being a good friend to other folks. That's why, you know, before this episode, I just asked you to shoot me an email or shoot me a tweet and have some, let's have some conversation. Because I know that the podcast episodes that I listen to regularly. I do kind of consider those podcast hosts to be my friends, even if they don't know who I am. And I want to know who you are. If you listen to this show, whether this is the first time you've listened to it or whether you listen to it on a regular basis, I would like to consider you my friend, and that means that we need to start that relationship. So please shoot me an email, dizruns@gmail.com, or shoot me a tweet or Instagram or, you know, whatever works best for you. You can find me just about anywhere on social media with the handle dizruns. So let's connect. Let's, just tell me what you've got coming up on, what's on deck. You know, got a race coming up, or you training for something, or just running for fun, or, you know, what's going on in your running life, and we'll start there. And you know, again, it doesn't have to go super deep, but, you know, if it does, that's cool too. So anyway, enough rambling at the end of this episode for me. We're getting dangerously close to the hour mark, and I want to cut it off before we get to that point. So again, thank you for listening. Thank you for taking the time. And as always, I'd love to hear what you think about the show. And again, just want to connect. So hopefully we'll do that soon. So that's it for today. Thanks again. Have a good one. Talk to you soon. See you guys.